So we're in the Marra district, north of Nyngan. I'm driving with local farmer Frank McKillop, who's showing me around his property. I'm looking out the window at the land surrounding us. It's dry and there's not even the slightest touch of green. But a few kilometres up ahead, there is an incredible sight. Water's slowly trickling its way down the Marra Creek. It's been released from Burrendong Dam. This water's not only filling the creek beds again, but it's also providing local farmers with a new sense of hope. So I'm standing in the dry bed of the Marra Creek, and that sound you can hear is the creek coming down, bubbling, and it's moving at quite a rate, and it's filling the gaps in the creek bed. This water is very, very welcome to the people of the Marra Creek area. But it sounds it may actually be under threat.
What's been proposed through a Division of Office of Water, they have a Water Efficiency Department, and they're looking for savings for these flows for our flow on the system, and they're proposing to supplement our so-called flow with either bores or a pipeline system.
So how do people along the length of the Marra feel about that suggestion?
Well, for everything that they offer, there's got to be a loss to us. And what we're finding now is that this flow that we're getting at the moment is referred to as stock and domestic. As far as the people on the Marra and all the tributaries regard, it's an environmental flow first, and stock and domestic is drawn surplus off that.
Now, obviously, semantics in this case is quite an important thing, because there's a very big difference in the sort of emotive response you get to an environmental flow as opposed to stock and domestic.
My word. Well, on a year like now, where there hasn't been any rainfall to actually put any local water into the system, the only flow that the creek's going to receive is this stock and domestic flow. And we've been trying our hardest to get that terminology changed to environmental, but we've been falling on deaf ears.
We're sitting here, we're watching that water make its way down the riverbed. The riverbed is dry and cracked, but it's an environment. There are animals living here that depend on that water.
Well, yes, it has its own ecosystem, and it's every bit as important to us on this system as what water is to the Macquarie Marshes. And what we're finding is that the tributaries are being probably starved to the expense of water savings to be allocated to the marshes.
And this is something that is echoed in other water courses in western and northwest New South Wales. We talk about the Condamine, the Ballon, all those river systems. The Paroo came under threat. All these unregulated river systems are in trouble, aren't they?
My word, they are. So there's only so much water to go around. And with the development that's gone on through the system, right from the start of European settlement, there's been a demand on these systems. And it's getting to a critical level now as far as the tributaries are concerned, because the powers that be are drawing it to the bigger populations and probably more demand where money's involved.
Now, because there are changes being made with things like the pipeline on the Macquarie, you're being impacted on water use as far away as Orange.
Yes, we are, and that's coming back into the equation of the demand for water. So you have your populations, which it's imperative that they actually have water come down through the systems, and there's only so much there.
Now, it's pretty amazing for me watching this water come down. What's your reaction as you see it arriving in the Marra River?
First reaction, you're just looking here, and strange as it may seem, I'm seeing the big old gums, etc. And if this hadn't come through, within another 6 months, they would have been stressed. They've been used to a flow on and off, but they're not used to being starved for years at a time. You know, I'm seeing broggers feeding sheep this morning, and they'll be moving from my ground tanks over to the banks of the creek when the water comes past me.
How concerned would you be about any change to the way water's delivered to this part of the world?
It's just a real worry, because we don't understand really what their plan are. I mean, they come out and say, we'll pipe the system, but where's the water coming from? There's only a certain amount underground, if that's what they're thinking. If they go piping, then it's got to be something 24/7, 365 days of the year. And yeah, I just question the possibility of that.
It's going to be pretty expensive. Who will be asked to meet the cost?
We're given the impression that it's Commonwealth or state money is what we're coming, but the system has to be maintained into the long term. It's all unknown. It's very frightening.
So have you been given any sort of timeline about when this is going to happen, or if it's definitely going to happen? Where is it all up to?
There's various systems, and each time there's a meeting they seem to be talking, different one will be first, but there's certainly movement afoot. Basically depends who you talk to. You're getting one fella saving, and we want to save it, the water will go back to the marshes. And then you talk to another departmental person and they're saying, oh no, we still envisage putting flows down your system. So it's just a big unknown.
And that's not a good feeling.
It's not a good feeling for anyone, and it's not the way to get cooperation. You never get anyone to cooperate when they don't know what they're being asked to cooperate with.
So what are your options in this case? What would your legal position be? Do you have to comply with this idea?
At the present, landowners have to agree. But we're seeing with coal seam gas and coal, so I don't know. They make their mind up something's going to happen. It's a bit of a quandary.